This is The Spark. I'm Martha Whitrow. An exhibit at an artsy Harrisonburg restaurant led to a big stir and got tongues waggling from the Shenandoah Valley to Norfolk to Brooklyn. Terry Ward has the tale of street pop artist and/or image pirate Rashidi Barrett. The big issue? Artistic appropriation or just inappropriate?
In the art world, it is sometimes totally okay for one artist to copy from another. It depends. But also in the art world, sometimes it is totally not okay for one artist to copy from another. It depends. And the internet is changing some of the old expectations. Norfolk, Virginia-based self-taught street pop artist Rashidi Barrett, a.k.a. Scott, a.k.a. Scotty Lish, a.k.a. DJ Cornbread, a.k.a. The Real DJ Cornbread, a.k.a. DJ C. Bread, had been using the internet to sell his creations and also to trawl for inspiration. Early in 2013, at Harrisonburg, Virginia Art House Cafe, The Artful Dodger, a picture in a Barrett exhibit struck one visitor as disturbingly familiar, maybe another artist's concept. Here's Artful Dodger exhibit organizer Paul Summers.
We had the opening, and people came and complimented his work, and you know, I told him, you know, specifically this one piece of a hand holding a swing with a girl swinging on the swing. I told him, you know, it was such a perfect composition and it was so good and clever that I couldn't believe I hadn't seen it before. And, you know, he took that and was like, thanks, man. You know, I worked really hard on it and, you know, just talked to me about it for a while. And then later that night, a coworker of mine told me that her boyfriend had noticed that specific painting looked similar to another work of art that he thought he had seen, and so he went home and Googled it and showed it to her, and it was an exact copy. Colors were all the same, lines were all the same, identical composition. The only difference was that I believe the original artist, Matheus Lopez Castro, created that as an illustration and a digital work of art, and Rashidi rendered it on a canvas. And, you know, sometimes he would take part of this artist's illustration and a part of another artist's illustration and then, you know, put those together on a canvas. At one point, I remembered he told me that he had to delete something from his Facebook because someone was saying that his painting, Three Graces, was a ripoff of somebody else's work. And then I thought that was pretty peculiar. And that was before I knew that piece was a copy.
And the artist, Rashidi Barrett, didn't dispute that he copied. By phone, he told me this.
Guilty as charged. The story's out there. I painted works of other illustrators. I didn't repaint somebody's paintings. It doesn't matter. It was somebody else's work. I painted it. I painted some pieces with miscellaneous intentions, most of which I didn't think were with the intent to harm, but I did. And I sold some of those works and profited from them, both in reputation and financially. Not that much financially, but I mean, a sale is a sale. So that's what happened. And it was a huge mistake, and I regret it.
When a blog, OldSouthHigh.com, reported Summers' discoveries under the headline, Artist Caught Forging, it got picked up. The newspapers in Norfolk and Harrisonburg, a TV station website, and Richmond's RVA magazine ran articles. Without inquiring about the artist's processes, the reporters published conclusively judgmental phrases like scam artist, art fraud busted, and Rashidi Barrett stole a career. It seemed like a career-ending wave of negative publicity. But the articles didn't describe Barrett's artistic process and also didn't consider the centuries-old tradition of artists copying each other, appropriation in the lingo of the art world. In the interest of full disclosure, I'm also an artist who has done plenty of artistic appropriation. Hip-hop musicians do it too, a practice called sampling in the music biz, and Rashidi Barrett was working in urban music disc jockeying at the time. Barrett didn't go to art school, and he might have been a bit fuzzy about the semantics of legal appropriation versus simply ripping off other artists. Copy is a small word, but a big word, a big thing, a wide range of meanings, also big reputation damage potential if the copying were a kind of cheating. Copying has variable meanings, some acceptable and some not. For clarity, here's a list of copy processes to keep in mind. Sampling in music, playing bits of another performer's song. Covering in music, performing a new version of someone else's entire song. Major Tom by Peter Schilling. Major Tom by Shiny Toy Guns. Appropriation in art, adding bits of another artist's imagery to a new creation. Making a study in art, making a new copy of a known art image for one's own private use, usually to attempt to understand a master's techniques. Forgery in art, making a new copy of a known art image and presenting the new image, usually to an unknowing buyer, as being the original art image by the other artist. Image piracy in art, taking another artist's images and presenting them as if they're one's own original art, the visual version of literary plagiarism. The creative world seems to condone the first four items, music sampling, music covering, art appropriation, and making studies. The last two, art forgery and image piracy, are frowned upon, and in some cases can be legally actionable. To explain some nuances, curator Amy Brandt spoke with me by phone. Officially, she's the
McKinnon Curator of Modern and Contemporary Art at the Chrysler Museum of Art.
A museum with no connection to the Barrett events other than coincidentally sharing the Norfolk area code with him. Brandt said,
Forgery is an intentional deception for the purposes of financial gain. There are certain modernist works and also works from other centuries that get forged often, and that's an intentional deceit. Someone who has copied the work and is trying to pass it off as a highly valued work. And that tends to be associated with just pure financial gain and trying to sell the work for a very high price.
Making the very same copy just for personal skills practice is fine, curator Brandt said.
Our artists for centuries have been doing studies of other artists' work. That's a part of the process. The study is sort of a preparation. It's them working out their ideas. That's how they hone in on their own skills. We may now want to purchase 19th century or 17th century study of an artist's work because all of the other works by that artist, you know, we're interested in that artist's life. We want to know more about their process. In the contemporary world, it's usually a little bit different, and that artists would want to sell or promote their own creative work that's been done.
Making that very same copy as a tribute or in a spirit of irony, I could sell at any gallery, Brandt said.
In many cases, an appropriation pays homage to an earlier artist, but it's done in a way that signals a new concept or a new idea or a new creative concept behind the work. It's typically the artist's intention to sort of make a commentary, to have an idea behind why they're copying. Is it to pay homage? Is it to put forth a new idea based on this older person's work? There has to be some kind of driving force behind why they're making the copy in the first place.
But making the very same picture could also be seen as image piracy. And the crucial difference might be in the intangible realm of motive, curator Brandt said.
I think it comes down to the artist's intention, what they meant to produce. I think when you're selling your work and passing it off as your own creative force or expression, and not letting other people know that it is in fact a study or a copy, that's, I think, when an artist can run into trouble.
Some of what Rashidi Barrett told me seemed to hint that homage or tribute could have been among his intentions, Barrett said.
A lot of it was what spoke to me. I really enjoyed everybody that I appropriated from or stole from or whatever, you know, like I visually get stuck on things that I find extremely aesthetic, and I'm infatuated. I focus on them. That's it. You know, I mean, I just think that was it. If I saw something I really liked, then I would just go, you know, I would try to replicate it.
Lots of contemporary art hanging in museums uses appropriation, sometimes what looks like blatant copying. Curator Brandt mentioned some.
The first artists that come to mind are what we would call the pictures artists or the appropriation artists of the 1970s and 80s, people like Sherry Levine, Cindy Sherman, Barbara Kruger, Richard Prince, who were in fact manipulating the language of advertising and the mass media to serve their own artistic purposes. Prince and Levine were re-photographing other artists' work and also advertisements such as Prince's Marlboro Man in order to make their own kind of commentary on the mass media. And in some cases, the only distinguishing factor between their works and the actual advertisements is actual context, the gallery or museum context, which frames the work and signals that it is not the original and gives you a new sort of a new way to look at the work. It sort of sets it apart from everyday reality and is telling you to look at this work in a new way. Sherry Levine, she re-photographed well-known photographers' works, and she also hand-copied well-known artists' works, Miro, for example, Walker Evans. But in the case of the hand-crafted drawings, she was using the scale, a smaller scale of what you would see from reproductions in art history textbooks. The smaller sort of dimensions and scale signals to you that this is not the original. And also in her titles, she would call these after, and then she would give the artist's work as a clear indication that that it's not the original, it's her copy of it. And that was intended to make a commentary on the art world and on artistic creativity and how we're all artists are in many ways always indebted to their predecessors and just this sort of long lineage of art history made tangible. But in many cases, if it is very much about the label. If you are not familiar with Levine's work and you don't see a label next to it, you may think on first glance that it is a Miro, but in fact it's not. So again, context and museum, you know, the gallery museum context is important.
So sometimes making a painted copy of someone else's art is fine, even re-photographing someone else's photo. What about the 1960s pop art makers like Warhol and Roy Lichtenstein, who copied from comic books, product packaging, and media photos? Curator Brandt said,
"A lot of elements of pop art were not necessarily copied directly. I mean, I think they do borrow some motifs, but it has a very strong handmade quality to it. Andy Warhol's Brillo boxes were, in fact, carefully hand-fabricated recreations. He, in fact, sometimes would misalign the silk screens in order to purposefully give it a sort of handmade aesthetic to distance it from what you would actually see in the stores. Roy Lichtenstein, while he was inspired by comics, his paintings were actually produced in a very long and arduous process, and he was a very highly skilled draftsman. He would select a comic, he would manipulate it, sometimes remove elements or add elements of his own. If you really examine his work, you can see that it is in fact hand-painted, and it is not quite as industrial looking as an actual comic book, and that's very much on purpose.
So art history loves Roy Lichtenstein, who made paintings by copying illustrations. The auction house loves him too. His canvases usually sell for 8 figures. And Rashidi Barrett wondered aloud, why then should there be so much fuss about him? Barrett told me,
I didn't paint a painting from a painting. It was always an illustration. I saw the illustration and painted it as I saw it. And I know maybe I'm cut from a different cloth. I don't understand in terms of what, I mean, like, I know what I did was not cool. In terms of knowing that this has been happening for a long time, I'm just saying that I've just seen scores of other artists that have done what I've done and not met the pitchforks and the torches as I have. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. I don't understand how it's okay that I can't appropriate in the way that other people have. Degas did it. Cezanne did it. I mean, Warhol, Rauschenberg, Lichtenstein, those are my idols. I know the fact that they appropriate their asses off. I don't understand how I'm, what makes me the anomaly. I don't know. I really don't know. I can name off like 15 pieces right now that should not be deemed fraudulent because I took a little piece of an illustration that I saw online. I don't understand it.
Paul Summers, the Artful Dodgers exhibit person, isn't impressed.
It was interesting to me that he was taking from illustrators. With Warhol, we know he's doing tomato soup cans and is probably doing them specifically because they're this very common image that we know already. Rashidi is, you know, much more deceptive in, and I think more than anything, that was a way for him to mask what he was doing because he couldn't just copy another painter, you know, kind of slipping out in the dark and grabbing something and then bringing it back and showing it to people, like, look what I did.
To me, Rashidi Barrett expressed both regret and surprise that there's been such a swirl of negativity, especially from people leaving comments on newspaper websites.
I have no words for this stuff that I've seen online, man. Yeah, I mean, the people, I don't even know. I mean, I got compared to a rapist. You know, I mean, it's insane. Actually, my aunt called the other day, and I was telling her the story, and she said, hey, it's like the Lauryn Hill quote, you know, like, first they hail you, then they nail you. You know, it's insane. And a lot of my friends are pissed off that I chose to use my talents the way I did, you know, and I can't apologize enough for it.
Not only does the internet make it possible for someone to appropriate from, or rip off, as the case may be, images from all over the world, it also means that geographic distance no longer ensures that wrongdoing avoids detection. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas isn't how the web era works. A Virginia artist copying an artist based in Poland or Brazil these days could get discovered by web surfers in Brooklyn or New Zealand, Singapore. And today, if you're caught doing things that look wrong, the scorn in the form of online comments can come from all over the world, too. That's an Eye on Art. I'm Terry Ward.
When he's not doing radio, Terry Ward is an artist and occasional art writer for the print magazine In the Art World and also for the Huffington Post. Dozens of images from the Artful Dodger exhibit, from the web, including screen caps of now-deleted pictures from Rashidi Barrett's old website, and examples of appropriation from art history, are on the Spark page at WMRA.org. A note of caution. Some of the images are a little edgy and might not be suitable for younger viewers. Back after a break with our first garden foray of 2013. Michael McConkie of Edible Landscaping in Afton will join us.